Good afternoon, honorable members and DG and your team. Welcome to our first meeting for 2018. I was just reminding other members here that the president has made a pronouncement that meetings must start on time. So we have to start on time. Something that's supposed to be happening. So you most welcome. We hope that we'll have a fruitful year and all the matters that are before the committees will be dealt with and finalized on time. And we also hope and believe that the amendment bill before the committee that we'll be deliberating on will also take us forward. And we'll have a commitment from all members and the department and the ministry as we did with the previous bill. We hope that we will do justice to it. With that and without more waste of time, welcome to Renee and everybody else. My name is Lindwe Masebo. You know, in the new year you even forget people's names. So, my name is Lindwe Masebo. I'm the chairperson of the committee.
My name is Masela Gigana, chairperson. Member of the committee.
And my name is Nick Kornoff, member of the committee.
Nokuzola Ndungeni, member of the committee.
Good afternoon. Annelie Lotrit, also a member of the committee.
Sandy.
My name is Tandwe Mfula. I'm the member of the committee. Thank you.
DG.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Phil Mjwaha. I'm the DG, Department of Science and Technology. I'll ask the team members to introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Tommy Makode, Deputy Director General for Institutional Planning and Support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Nonhlanhla Mkhize. I'm the Chief Director of the Department.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Pritima Kukule, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Members. I'm Martin Mulcahy, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Kerry Fall, the Head of the National Intellectual Property Management Office.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Isevoni Naika, Chief Director of International Resources in the Department.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Peggy Hatebe. I'm with the Human Capital Development Division of the Department.
Thank you very much, and as I said, you're most welcome. Where's Shanas? Where's Shanas? We have two items on the agenda. We have the briefing by the department on the second quarter financial performance report, and then we'll also have the committee program in relation to National Research Foundation Amendment Bill. Yeah, that is it. So without much waste of time, also I think one needs to apologize for the shift of the meeting. It's because of matters that are beyond our control. And we had to do that for the best interest of the country, so hence we're meeting today. But I'm happy that we are able to be here and meet. DG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for giving us the opportunity to share with you where we are on our second quarter, both on the performance information and on the stage of finances. Maybe at the end, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I'll just ask the CFO to quickly brief us where we are on the finances. So we hope to skip the purpose background because we have shared this with the Portfolio Committee, and then we'll probably start focusing on the performance per each of the DSG strategic goals, giving the committee members some highlights, and then we'll go to the detail of the performance per each of the program, and then, as I've said, just quickly indicate where we were on the finances at the end, and then probably the CFO can quickly brief us to just one line where we are at the moment. So again, the mandate of the department, we've shared this with the policy the committee before, the vision, the mission statement, our alignment to the outcomes of government, and then the five strategic outcome-oriented goals which are in our five-year strategic plan and that we use as a framing for reporting on our work. And then we then just want to highlight that for this period up to July, from July to September, a total number of 36 planned outputs were monitored, and then the department achieved 61% of these targets, and 39 of the planned output targets were not achieved, and then we will give again reasons for the ones that were not achieved. So we just want to, on slide 13, just to give an update on the issues that we are tracking as part of having a responsive, coordinated, and efficient NSI as one of the strategic outcome-oriented goals. We are on the process of almost finalizing, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the white paper. We have received the last comments from the critical readers that were looking at the draft that we had in November, December. We have analyzed the comments, and we will be tabling this to the Minister and the Deputy Minister and the rest of the team on Friday. If it's agreed, then we will incorporate those comments, and we hope that the white paper will be tabled then to Cabinet on the 14th of March. We've also subjected the paper, as expected, to the Social Economic Impact Assessment System, SEAS, and we have got a certificate, which means that DPME is satisfied that there are no huge implications to the economy as a result of this proposed white paper. We also have had the opportunity to present the document to the economic sectors, employment and infrastructure development cluster, and we continue, of course, to support the work of ASAID cluster. We are the lead co-chairs and we run the project management unit. And then, of course, the government POA report for 17-18 financial year quarter two was also finalized and submitted. So we've tried to adhere to all of the requirements. The committee is quite familiar with the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Bill, so we are grateful and happy that there is progress on finalizing this bill. And then we've also finalized a number of frameworks in order to accelerate commercialization of the ideas that are coming from the researchers in the system. We now have a commercialization framework and an overarching policy guideline for actions to be taken in respect of this commercialization. And we have aligned this document with the commercialization framework proposed by the Department of Trade and Industry. So we're very happy about this. We also last year held the Innovation Bridge as part of showcasing what ideas that could be commercialized and see whether we could have either financiers or those that have an interest in the uptake of technology. It was held at the Galeka Estate Convention Center on the 15th of September. As I've said, it's an opportunity for the networking between South Africa and international innovators, industry and public and private technology development and commercialization funding partners. We also, on the second strategic outcome-oriented goals, continue to look at how we can increase the knowledge generation within the national system of innovation. So we continue to support the South African Research Shares Initiative and Centers of Excellence Program. And to date, as you can see at the bottom of slide 16, 3,863 researchers were awarded research grants, surpassing the 3,400 target that was set. We've also been focusing on ensuring that we do not have a situation where there's an overemphasis on utilization of knowledge at the expense of basic sciences. So we have established a South African Basic Sciences Platform, and the platform has a number of representatives that are helping the ministry in making sure that we don't lose sight of investing in the basic sciences, because they are very, very important. We've also asked the Academy of Sciences of Southern Africa to develop an open science policy framework, because we are told that this is a new way in which science will be done. What open science means is enable people to use, reuse, and distribute content without legal, technological, or social restrictions. So it moves beyond just open access of research articles, and we're then looking at what is the framework of how this can be done. We've also been looking at whether the academy is properly structured, and they have started to look at the matrix of comparative analysis of the structure and selected international science academies in order to advise the minister if there is a need to structure the academy differently. So we are processing this in order to continue to have an academy that helps the national system of innovation in an efficient way. We also would like to report on the ministerial meeting of partner countries that are supporting us. And this meeting was held in Ghana, and at least at this time of reporting, on the 24th of August 2017. And the highlight of the meeting was that there was a memorandum of understanding that was signed by all the partner countries' ministers on ensuring that we continue to build the radio astronomy capabilities on the continent in preparation for when SKA, both phase one and phase two, are completed. We also would like to report that we had a successful launch of the Ghana Radio Astronomy Observatory, which was a dish that was converted for astronomy from being a communication antenna, and this was launched by the president of Ghana, and there was a huge interest, I think, on this initiative last year. On the human capital development, which is the third strategic-oriented outcome goals, we are happy to report on the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Expo that was held in Mbombela last year, 26th to the 28th of September. And I know that some members of the committee graced the occasion, for which we are extremely grateful. And then five learners from schools in the province were awarded scholarships to study towards a bachelor's degree in IKS. And then, of course, we had a total of more than 450 grade 10 and 11 learners and 2,800 community members, delegates, and exhibitors that participated in the expo. Also on human capital development activities, we continue to support PhD students and pipeline students. The numbers are shown on the slide, just over 3,000 for PhDs and just over 8,000 pipeline postgraduate students. We are also happy that 875 graduates and students from both the NRF and National Youth Service were placed in science, engineering, and technology institutions, DST-funded institutions, and on the National Science Week, as you all know, this took place in August 2017 at the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, and we had a number of participants that participated in that event. on using knowledge and innovation for economic development, progress towards the beneficiation of titanium raw material is being made at the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. And at this point, we just want to maybe report two issues, that at least the plant was able to produce at a rate of 500 grams per hour for 2 weeks, full operational, and that's a big milestone because there are a lot of technical problems in this pilot plant that we have set up at the CSIR. And we also have some samples that are now being characterized for validation by a number of interested parties, especially the alloys that we are developing. And then, of course, we are now at a stage of looking for the establishment of an industrial facility, which will have to be outside of the CSIR to scale up these technologies for commercial purposes. We are also giving the highlight of the DST technology assistant package, which we provide to small companies to assist the South African foundry companies to participate in competitive supplier development program. For this period, we just want to highlight to the members of the committee that there was a signing of a contract between Enterprise and Supplier Development Division of General Electric and the Tech Localization Implementation Unit based at the CSIR for the empowerment of the supplier. This is a very, very good milestone. And the Tech Localization Implementation Unit worked with ABB, the Swiss engineering company, to develop 8 South African suppliers to provide components for the traction transformer for the locomotive build program that is currently happening. And most of the suppliers identified are small black owned, in line with the technology assistance package strategy. And then the first contract is valued at 3.8 million for a 1-year renewable possibility at the end of the first contract. And this contract, of course, is in addition to the quantum of investment amounting to about 5 million that GE has committed for the 9 suppliers. So we think that there is a recognition of the need to build these small, medium enterprises and get them to supply appropriate products to the original equipment manufacturers. On the agro-processing technologies, we're happy to report that we have working with the community in Limpopo and negotiations with Future Life for joint commercialization of their products from the completed Limpopo agro-processing facility for the Moringa project. We are also happy to share with the committee cross-boundary IKS-based project. As you know that from August last year until August this year, South Africa will be chairing the Southern African Development Community. And as part of that initiative, we want to promote the identification, or we have identified 3 major IKA-based cross-boundary projects that we are doing with partners. And during this reporting period, the Innovation Directorate that is working on IKA-based innovation is looking at funding one of the projects, which is called the NutriDrink project. We also want to just share with the committee this important milestone. We have an agri-food technology station which is based here at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology, which of course is an initiative which we fund. It entered into an agreement with the owner, who is a person with a disability, to use the facility for producing puffed pork skin products for the snack market. The owner has now managed to employ 3 people for production, and the production, as we indicated, was done mainly here at the Agro Food Technology Station, and the business is becoming self-sustainable with additional distributions, including Rondebosch, Spa, Picardy, Rebel, Liquor Store. So again, small little milestones that show that we are now ready for upscale for some of these initiatives. The South African Medical Research Council entered into a partnership with Novartis, a Swiss-based company, for the establishment of a joint research program in selected communicable and non-communicable diseases, from drug discovery through to preclinical and clinical development. And in doing that, building on the resources and infrastructure investment of both the South African government and the Swiss government. And the idea is to improve South African patients' access to precision medicine, build up of the research and development ecosystem in Africa. Of course, this relationship is managed on our behalf by the Strategic Health Innovation Partnership at the Medical Research Council. On the knowledge utilization for inclusive development, the tool, Rural Innovation Assessment Tool, that we have developed is meant to enable users to unearth rural innovations. And the idea is to envision a prosperous future for local community and identify interventions that have the potential to be high impact catalysis. During this period, a seminar which was attended by over 70 local economic development officials from selected rural municipalities attended this seminar. This seminar provided a platform for this tool or RIAD's participants to share their experiences in utilizing the tool set. And the major outcomes of the seminar included strengthening relationships between municipalities and universities in relation to local economic development activities. On the international cooperation, there was a forum between South Africa and Japan universities which was hosted in Japan as part of strengthening the relationship between the two universities or universities between the two countries. We signed a memorandum of understanding with Chile as part of expanding relations with Americas, and an MOU was signed with Denmark in the area of technology and innovation, especially the green technologies, because they're very good at that. And then the Binational Commission with Mozambique reported progress on the science technology agreement with three jointly funded research calls, and this has resulted in over 20 research projects being done between South Africa and Mozambique. And also progress in the implementation of the AVN project and setting up the astrophysics laboratory equipped with 20 personal computers and the two antenna interferometer at the University of Eduardo Motlanthe, Mozambique. We apologize on your slide. We picked up a slight mistake at the bottom of that sentence. I think it had the word complete instead of equipped, so our sincere apologies on that. So, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we will now go through in detail now what each program has achieved. At the highest level, Program 1 for this quarter, 83%, Program 2, 50%, 3, 22%, Program 4, 56%, and 5, 90%. And this is shown pictorially on this graph. And as you can see, Programs 3 and 4 probably did not meet, but at the end, we will indicate the challenges with these two programs. We are not really worried because it's just the timing of the targets and whether they had anything to report in the second quarter. So in Program 1, we were tracking the public entities' annual performance plan and the CSIR submitting their shareholders' compact and signed by the minister. This was done. And then the performance plan and shareholders' compact of the CSIR signed by the minister and chairpersons of the entity. This was done on time. And then we were supposed to have for quarter two target 8 media articles written to raise the profile of what we work in the national system of innovation, and 9 media articles. So this was achieved. On public participation programs, we had a target of 2, 4 was achieved. On unqualified audit opinion, we didn't get a clean audit. We are not happy about this, but we did get an unqualified audit. On Program 2, technology innovation, they were supposed to have 8 regulatory recommendations for decision support by government. They had 12, so the target was achieved. In Program 3, which is the international cooperation and resources, we had a target of 50 international partner organizations collaborating with us, as a target, we're at 67. We were to have 5 million in international funds directly invested in African regional and continental research, innovation, science, technology, aid, human capital or research infrastructure. We had 10.3, so this was achieved. And then on program 4, which is research development support, in terms of the number of PhD students awarded bursaries, we were over the target of 3,000 was achieved. On graduates and students placed, as I indicated, 747 students were placed. On the number of researchers awarded, we exceeded the target, 3,863. And then on the 64 antenna, we had a target of a project to approve progress report with reference to the baseline of ensuring that we have 64 antenna built by the time of the reporting. On the National Science Week, this was achieved. We are still collecting data on the actual number of participants that participated, but we are of the opinion that Peggy will easily meet the target of the year of over 2 million participants, and including learners. On the socio-economic and innovation partnerships, which is the last program, the first draft of the 6 identified policy briefs on innovation and inclusive development developed. We had the first draft of the 6 done. On the implementation of work plans for the 7 existing decision supports, 9 existing decision support systems, work plans were monitored, and learning interventions, we had 5. So again, this was achieved. On the monitoring of the initiatives for the honors, masters, and doctoral students, this was done. 2 innovation products, they were, again, this was achieved. And then on the 17 knowledge and innovation products, finalizing negotiations with implementing agencies, so this was also achieved and done. On instruments that were funded to support or in support of increased localization, this was achieved. Proposal for project proposal and contracting to be finalized for 2 innovation support interventions, this was done, and the draft and gather inputs for stakeholders for the rural innovation, this was also achieved. We now would like to quickly go through the targets which were not achieved. And as we have indicated before, we've identified 3 reasons why this is not done. It's either process delays, and this refers to factors which are outside the control of the department, and achievement is mainly dependent on outside circumstances. We try and reduce the risks around this, or sometimes the implementers do not provide us with the information we need on time due to any technical reason. And of course, in certain instances, the target formulation on our side is less than ideal. And we try and reduce the third challenge of target formulation deficiencies. So on the vacancy rate was supposed to be kept at 10%, and this ended up being just over 10.5. And as we all know, the compensation budget cuts from National Treasury has prevented us from filling the post. Of course, later in the year, they were able to adjust the compensation budget, but it was too late for this reporting period. And then in terms of the instruments funded in support of knowledge utilization, we've had a delay in the payment of 3 HISA COCs because the advisory board had requested that we reduce the scope, so we were negotiating how we could fund the reduced scope differently. And then we have a number of targets where we are needing, where we're supposed to get funding from international funders. So in most instances, it takes a bit longer to get evidence, and that's why you saw in Program 3 that it had the largest number of unachieved targets at about 78%. So we rely on international partners to support us with evidence, and until that is done, we then don't record it as achieved. So same thing in the amount invested in their own organizations in order to support our initiatives is the same thing. South African students participating in international training programs, we are still waiting, as I've indicated, evidence from partners. Dedicated international technical exchanges, same challenge. Same thing in terms of the AU and SADC initiatives, and then formally recorded decisions in multilateral forums, exactly the same challenge. It takes a bit longer to get the reports from the implementing international partners. Same thing with the leadership positions occupied by South Africa in these international fora. And then in the case of number of pipeline graduates, BTEC and honors students awarded from bursaries, the target was underachieved by 1.7%. We are negotiating with the Auditor General to allow us to have a certain percentage of variation, because sometimes it's not possible to report the student numbers with accuracy. But here we are not worried, because it's still a second quarter target, and sometimes if it's not the full year report, we still are not particularly worried about that target. And then there were some delays in finalizing some of the projects under the South African research infrastructure, roadmap projects. So this is just really a delay in finalizing some of the contracts. And then on the links and upgrade plans that are needing to be finalized, again, the delay is in the technical evaluation tender process for upgrade of the research network equipment at the end point of the fiber. So it's just a process delay. On the MOU, number of parties to MOU identified by the reporting period. This was for the Applied Center for Climate and Earth System Science. It was a delay in submitting the MOU and finalizing it. And then this challenge, I think we are almost, I don't think Imran is here, almost at the point of getting into the 90 days for the pre-approval decision sound. We've removed all of the backlog, but it's not completely removed. So I think we are almost there. But we are now recording it not as red as yellow in our own internal reports. But of course, we do have measures that we take to address the underperformance. Both ourselves as the executive and the minister, we note the underperformance in the three programs that we indicated, and the deputy directors general who are responsible for these programs have to submit to us what we call catch-up plans. And also we have started to meet with the officials that are responsible at the point of implementing some of these decisions, and we have responsibilities document that indicate the role clarification, so we meet with them after every quarter if we think there's an area that is underperforming. And lastly, on the finances, this is just a split of the DST budget to the different programs of the DST. Program 4 takes the largest slice, followed by Program 2, Program 5, and then Programs 1 and 3 follow. By split, as we have indicated before, over 92% is transferred to the entities, and the department then uses just about 3% for goods and services, 4% for the compensation, and just less than 1% for the capital assets. At the time of reporting, we had spent 3 billion, which is 42.1% of the planned 5.7. And there was a deviation of about 44.2. The biggest challenge on the transfers is that we are negotiating with the National Research Foundation, which receives the larger portion of the transfers, for the number of contracts to be reduced so that they can easily manage the paperwork and the transfer. So it took us a little longer to agree on this, but we have a catch-up plan that we have developed for the transfer, which I think has now enabled us to catch up And I'll ask the CFO, perhaps at the end, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to quickly indicate to us where we are in where we were in December and where we are in January. I know it's not for this reporting period, but just to indicate that we have seen this problem and we are working on it. This is, again, just per each of the program, and as I indicated, the bulk was as a result of this transfer in program four, which is the NRF contracts. So in conclusion, we continue as a DST to play a central role in providing leadership and resources for initiatives that enhance socioeconomic development. These are in targeted human capital development, innovation support interventions that are implemented across the country, and then targeted innovations for inclusive development, and both in the highlights and some specific examples, we hope we've shared this with you. And we'll continuously ensure that our in-year monitoring reports reflect an analysis of performance of strategic contribution to respond to the government priorities, and we will, as a DST, facilitate the maintenance of the highest standard of planning, which is fundamental to effective monitoring, reporting, and management of performance information. If the Chair agrees, then I will ask the CFO perhaps to quickly indicate as a percentage the expenditure where we were December, I think, in January. But that's up to the Chair.
Thank you, Chair. To apprise the members, as at the end of December, which was quarter three, our financial performance was standing at 80% variation from the planned expenditure, which has improved significantly as compared to the 42.1% that is reported for quarter two. And for end of January, we were standing at 91.8%. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. And thank you, DG, for the presentation. Let me, without waste of time, open to members to pose question or comments on the report. Honorable Koronov, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Kekana. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine will be very short. I was fortunate to be at the SADC conference or workshop, called it a workshop. And so what I want to know, and maybe if you don't have it here, you can give me later the information, but when it comes to international cooperation, I and the international cooperation initiatives, I would like to know what percentage of DST's initiatives is spent in the SADC countries. So, you know, why I'm asking this is it was fairly well, you know, there were a few countries, even Ghana was there, that was not outside, but the more important countries was not there. And I was getting the idea that sometimes they think South Africa is too much of a big brother in SADC, but SADC is an important, the big sister. but SADC is important for us. You know, if SADC fails, we're all failing. And, you know, I was getting the idea that maybe we are failing in SADC, you know, if you look at a few factors. But I really want to know, you know, what percentage, and if you, out of a department's point of view, are happy that we are doing what, can we do more to assist in SADC? You know, I won't go deeper in that. I still need to discuss that, you know, at the other venue.
Thanks, Chair. Oh, thanks, Chair. Mine is only three. Oh, sorry. How many vacancies you have? Because the last presentation you have, you said you have 42 vacancies. Can you please give us an update now, besides percentage?
The second one, what progress has been made with implementation recommended action plans to address the shortcoming identified by AG, and what is the status of the key control concerning governance and performance? The third one, what was the explanation given by NRF CEO for the cash holding in the SK project? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much for the presentation, DG. I don't have much questions. I'm partly covered by Ndongeni and my whip. Mine is about education, human capital development, page 11. I've got a concern, or why DST is not giving bursaries to undergraduates, the freshers from high school. And if they did, what is the criteria that we are using to select? And the last one, you will forgive me if it was answered, because of it's very difficult to concentrate when the president is giving talking to the nation. I wanted to know about the litigation. I don't know whether you spoke about it or what, but I lose it from there. I want to understand, do you have any cases and what is happening? And it's unfortunate I forgot some of my notes. One of your entities, it has a serious case whereby the CEO and CFO and somebody else, the secretary of the company, were involved. And we wanted to know that how far is that case, and then did you get the money back? But I'm not sure which entity it was. Pardon me there, because I forgot my notes. I thank you.
Tando, I think, can you sit somewhere else? Because you're obscuring Honorable behind you, so I can't see her. Tando.
Thank you, Chair. My question is around, you know, these exhibitions that are normally held, most of the time, I just want to understand, where do you hold them? Because sometimes people in rural areas and in townships, they don't have access to these exhibitions. So I just want to understand, I can see you normally hold exhibitions. And in terms of your not achieved and achieved, what is the plan? Is there any plan that is there to make sure that you achieve whatever you did not achieve? And my last comment, or is it a question, I'm not so sure. It's around to say, around your department, how many people with disability are in? On which positions? Because most of the time I know they'll be at receptionists and administrators. I'm just curious. And we've got also schools that deals with children with disabilities, with special schools. Are they involved in this expo to make sure that they are also exposed to this? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for the questions. Mine is around the underachieved areas. And you did mention, DG, that you are engaging with those individuals that are affected. I just want to find out, I know it's a question that we continuously raise, if there's anything that has ever been done to any underperformer, or we just always talk to them and encourage them to improve and nothing much. And I think the other one was just around the bursaries that are being given. And sometimes you do meet some of these people who had a whole family who were putting together money, and now they are qualified and they want to continue. So I know sometimes years back we did ask a question as to what do you do when you encounter such people. Well, I stay in Alexandra, in Johannesburg, so we do find some of those. So what are the processes to identify not those who are in the mainstream already, but those who would want help and who have advanced on their own, struggling, and so forth. And lastly, on the SKA, I think one thing that we said we'd want to do as a committee is to go and see the final product. So if that one, if what is the date, and so that when we do our own planning, we can also factor that in. So also, some of the members were new and didn't go then, so it would be important, and it would be nice also when they see at least the final product. Yep. Thank you. If you could just respond with your team, DJ.
Thanks very much, honorable members, for the questions. Let me start with Mr. Korinov. But I will ask Isaivani if she has the details. But we may not have the details at the level of the investment. But I do know that we have a bilateral agreement, for instance, with Mozambique. We highlighted that today. We have a bilateral agreement with Namibia. We don't have a bilateral agreement with Lesotho and Swaziland. But with Swaziland last year, they requested us to assist them with the setting up of an innovation hub type. They have a science park in one of the universities. So, but there is no exchange of scientists between us and the institutions in Swaziland. In Lesotho, as I say, we had a potato project which we had with them, but I think it has been stopped because we just didn't get as much support, which was the South Africa, Ireland, and Lesotho arrangement. With Botswana, we have a very vibrant cooperation, especially because of the SKA, and I think we've set up a high-performance computing in Botswana, and we have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, just under 10 students that are coming to South Africa as part of the SKA. With Malawi, not much. With Zimbabwe, I think it's on and off. And then Zambia, I think, again, it's on and off. DRC, almost very little. And then Angola, we used to have a very vibrant program. We had a joint call, but it stopped because they said last year or year before, they started to run out of funds because of the oil price going up. We haven't had any interaction with them, I think, subsequent to that. Madagascar, again, and Mauritius, heavily participating in the SKA program. We also have, I think, about four flagship initiatives, and Saivani can remind me, SunBio, which is a regional initiative, the other one on IKS, the other one which is a Pan-African, the African Laser Center, and there might be the fourth one. So we may not have the, at this point in time, the exact number, but what we could do through the chair is to gather the exact number and the bilaterals and what areas, I think, on each of the countries that we work with. And then secondly, we are, as part of the chair, have identified a number of initiatives which we are doing with SADC partner countries. The training workshop was one of them. As part of the industrialization strategy that SADC has embarked on or is wanting to embark on, we are developing a research development and innovation program or science technology and innovation program in support of the SADC industrialization. What we would like perhaps to do, if the chair agrees, is that we could ask that we come and present this specifically to the committee, so once we finalize it, so we can really indicate what we do. So if it's agreed, in the meantime, we can submit the numbers in terms of the budgets and the bilateral agreements and what areas of cooperation we're in. This we can send through to the chair. And then at a later stage, once we finalize the SADC industrialization strategy, we would be more than happy to come perhaps and share with the. But if Saivana wants to add at the end, I'll ask her to do that. On the vacancies, I'm told that to date 61 vacancies. We were advised when there was the ceiling on the filling of posts not to fill the posts when people leave, and therefore we have stuck to this Treasury directive. We continue to look at ways of ensuring that the work continues, and this point in time we try and fill the post through contract positions. So that's what we've been doing. I'll ask Tommy to respond, Honorable Ndongeni, on the AG's findings and how we are trying to respond to those. I'm not so sure if CFO will be able to respond to the attempts that we have been putting in place to try and understand the SKA holdings. I'll give the first bite on the cherry. We have requested the NRF to give us the projections for the cash holdings for the project. We have received these numbers, and I think we've gone back and asked them further questions because we wanted to know, in relation to the original project, what has been achieved with the money that has already been spent and what the cash holdings that they still have are for. And we were not happy with some of the explanation, but we were happy with what we got. And they have supplied this to us, and I'm not sure when is the deadline, but we're hoping to get the revised set of inputs back to us, I guess, within a month. But at the heart of it is just the scheduling of the project and its execution and when you spend the money. I think that's really where the delay is. Honorable Ndongeni would remember that at one stage when the SKA was rolling the project, we had a little bit of a problem with one of the dishes that had a problem and the support, and this had to go back to the company, and therefore we had to hold the payment until that was done. So I think it's part of the legacy of the money that was then not paid at the time. But again, if the chair would like us to provide written explanation, because I remember last year we spent about 3 or 4 meetings to really try to get to the bottom of this, both for delays backward, but also I think the allocated expenditure going forward. But I'll ask Tommy to talk about the AG at the end. Well, I think, Honorable Kekana, the reason why we don't have bursaries for postgraduate is because that money is actually the money that undergrad. It's the money that is provided by the Department of Higher Education directly to the institutions. And therefore, we then look at postgraduate students going forward. And in fact, even for postgraduate, we only provide 10% of, if I'm correct, plus minus 10% of postgraduate students, so the other 90% is provided by the Ministry of Higher Education and Training. So it's just a case of the resources that we have and the fact that we've always interpreted our mandate as research and therefore the students that are needed to carry that forward. But of course, as Honorable Kekana, through you, Chair, knows, we are worried about how we make sure that the pipeline is available. It's only the SKA project that funds, I think, all the way from actually high school, if I'm not mistaken, and then I undergraduate. But this is just really the division of responsibilities between ourselves and DHET. In instances, which is the second question, if we had to do it or if we do it, what is the criteria? As I say, we've identified that for the SKA it would be important perhaps for the kids in the Carnarvon area to support. And you know that we have the support for the high school upgrade for maths and science, and we have been providing bursaries for some students that come out of the Carnarvon High School into the university. I don't know how many of these students that are undergraduate. Tommy tells me it's about 9. But so the I'm using this as an example that for perhaps some targeted areas we do it, SKA being one example. If Peggy wants to add anything, I don't think we have any other area that we have identified as critical where we've broken the rule, so to speak. But I'll ask Peggy perhaps to comment on that if he has. On the litigation, my recollection, Honorable Kagana, through you, Chair, is that it's the previous CEO and the CFO of the Technology Innovation Agency. I am not privy with the details as to how that matter was finalized. I do know that I think it was finalized. So we don't have the facts, Chair, but again, we would be more than happy to request to the board of the Technology Innovation Agency how that matter was finalized, because you are right. I mean, there were two issues. The first one was an issue that relates to settling the way that they left the organization. I think that went to the CCMA, and there was a request because I think, I'm not so sure whether it was the previous CFO and the CEO, they were supposed to pay the money back. But there were also other allegations about the funds that were embezzled or alleged to have been embezzled that was going to be taken to the criminal crimes section. I don't know where it is, but as I say, we can request the information from the Technology Innovation Agency. On the exhibitions, the exhibitions, they vary. We hold exhibitions here in Parliament during the budget vote. We also hold exhibitions during the National Science Week, and then we also hold them for the Indigenous Knowledge System. I can ask Tommy, he oversees communication then in terms of where we draw the participants that participate in these exhibitions. And then I'm told that there are, Honorable Mpulo, 12 disabled people that we employ, the department. I think that translates to about 4%, and it's above the target, I think, which is of about 2%. Five of the 12 is senior management staff, and then 7 is non-senior management staff. And then I will ask Peggy if we have any work that is part of the exposure of the special schools. I'll ask Peggy to do that. I don't remember any specific program that we have in the department. And then I'll ask Mr. McCorder to talk about the underachieved targets and the process that we've put in place to try and address this, especially perhaps going from last year rather than this year, because as we track these every quarter, Honorable Chair, Honorable Masego, we meet every quarter as EXCO, and then we try and track the targets. Where we feel really things are slipping between the cracks, we then engage with the DDGs to develop in writing catch-up plans, whether it's on the finance side of things or whether it's on the performance information side of things. And we've agreed that under the information, performance information and ensuring that there is evidence, we've now written to the Deputy Directors General as well as a specific either Chief Director to say they will take responsibility for this. And we have tracked this for the first and the second quarter, and we have agreed, I think we've had a subsequent meeting with the people who know that this is my responsibility, with an understanding that if this is not done, there would be a consequent management. But we've never had to do anything with the underachieved, because at the end of the year, we've always been, I think, a little over 85-86%. SKA proposal, yes, I think we will work with the SKA office and maybe with your office to see what would be the best time for the visit. We are told now that all the 64 dishes are up. What I don't remember is whether you are able to get some signals and you can detect them with the all 64 dishes. I don't think they've connected the detectors and you are able to get the data. What we'll request with Dr. Rob Adam, the project director, is probably arrange something when you are able to have more than, I think the first release was 16 dishes. I suspect maybe 32, because the good thing with the increase in the number of dishes is you can see a picture in the sky, and then as they connect more dishes and they are able to see the same picture, you can see how the picture is getting resolved, and that's why even after 16, they were able to pick up galaxies that could not be seen because the resolution just gets, you know, exponentially better from one or from a group of dishes that are connected. So we'll take it upon ourselves, and then formally again, maybe the minister will write to the chair to invite the members. It would be a good experience. But let me ask then, Mr. Makode, through your chair, if you would like to add anything on the AG performance and maybe on the exhibitions, those two questions, and then if Peggy would like to add anything on the bursaries, perhaps, and if CFO wants to add anything on the cash holdings, and also Isa Ivani, if she wants to add anything on the SADC partnership.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, honorable members. So let me start then with the exhibitions. So on an annual basis, we do host a number of exhibitions throughout the country, but mainly there are permanent exhibits that can be found at all the science centers. So we've got about 36 science centers across the country. For example, here in Cape Town, if you were to go to Observatory, where the Cape Town Science Center has got a permanent exhibition. But in order to reach those rural areas, we also have mobile science centers that visits your rural areas. For example, in the Eastern Cape, we do have a science center, the University of Forte, which also has a mobile science centers that are able to visit your rural far-flung areas. And then we've got another science center at Uitenhage, and also which has close collaborations with the Nelson Mandela University. What we have done, we have sort of linked most of these science centers to universities as well, so that learners can also tap into the expertise of undergraduates or postgraduate students from these universities. So we have got some of the permanent exhibits at these science centers. This year in particular, for the launch of National Science Week, we'll have a number of exhibitions in Mpumalanga because we host National Science Week in all the provinces. So it's the 10th for Mpumalanga to host. Last year we were in the Eastern Cape. So this is the 10th for Mpumalanga. And the last question, DG, that you asked with regards to underachieved targets and the AG findings, the DG is correct. So on a quarterly basis, we track these findings that the DAG has made, Honorable Ndongane. So I think at the last EXCO meeting, out of the about 32 of those that were identified by the AG, we've made a lot of progress. And I think it's probably in about two areas where there's progress made, but we're still not satisfied in terms of the reports that we've received. So we've dealt with about 30. Which we've sort of sorted out, and then there's two that we still need to do. But in addition to that, the DG indicated that we have also ensured that chief directors and directors in each program also take responsibility for the underperformance. So on a quarterly basis, they now have to give us what is known as a declaration form to say the evidence that has been uploaded on a system that we utilize has been verified, it's accurate, because that's been one of the big issues that the AG found, was that the evidence that's been uploaded was not aligned to the performance information. So we're tracking that on a quarterly basis, and I think we're making quite a lot of progress since we've instituted these measures. Thank you, DG.
Also, to add on what the DG has said, a part of the cash holding is attributed to the delays in the acquisition of land, which took longer than it was anticipated. Thanks. Just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Chairman. I think on the, I'll go back to the question of our role in undergraduate funding. I must say that it's actually not our space in terms of the mandate, and if we do so, it's more symbolic than anything, but also it can be strategic when we're building the pipeline in areas such as mentioned by the DG. Maybe one symbolic project that we fund in just undergraduate is the one where we're supporting top-up funding for the 18 students, the top students in each province, who become part of, you know, the celebrations of the National Science and Technology Forum Awards. So the NSTF actually coordinates that, and they bring them to our ceremony in Pretoria. Then we actually do an assessment and provide a small top-up funding. That's just symbolic. Then the issue as well in terms of our role in SADC, the minister approved the guidelines on achieving equity in the distribution of bursaries. Now, taking heed of the SADC protocol on research and training, there is a provision that each of the member states, SADC member states, must actually reserve, you know, support for other SADC members. So according to the guidelines, we are reserving 5% of whatever basket of students, you know, for our SADC member states, and the other 4 will be continental, and the other 4% will be international, and 87% will be local. I think on issues of equity in the main, and I hope I've dealt with the issue of the special schools, because we don't play much with regard to the special schools, but issues of equity are actually mainstreamed in all our programs. We take cue, for example, from the employment equity in terms of achieving 4% of people with disability, even in our, you know, our programs. For example, in our bursaries, that is the target that we're chasing. And as a result, you know, there's a bursary program from the Skills Development Fund that has even provisions for, you know, adaptive learning technologies in terms of catering for postgraduate students with special needs. I think I've covered this. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and thank you. Okay, great. Thank you, Honorable Kona, for your question. Just to add to what the DG said, and I think he answered most of it, well, I communicated with my DDG, and depending on what you count around, whether it's knowledge, partnerships, resources, and whether it's across the world, Africa, we would put a tentative figure around 20%, but we can come back to it with more detail around that. And Becky spoke about some bursaries, and he suggested that 5% of that goes to Southern Africa. The DG also noted some of the important regional cooperation initiatives. One that he did not mention, which is one that is just kicked off in the second phase, which is the Southern African Innovation Support Instrument with the Finnish government across Southern Africa, where we're both a knowledge partner, but we're also a funding partner, where we're adding to a pool of money, which is around 60 million rand, that is going to support regional initiatives, which looking specifically around bottom of the pyramid, looking around innovation that goes towards entrepreneurship within using science and technology for entrepreneurship within that. And the objective is to announce regional innovation cooperation and national innovation systems contributing to inclusive business and development. So it's a very, all-encompassing Southern African program together with our international partners. And what we find is specifically when he mentioned the Lesotho program with the Irish, there's this trilateral cooperation that we try and where we work with the partner outside of Africa who we cooperate with very successfully, but then try and facilitate partnerships within Africa.
what you mentioned sometimes does become a problem in the case of Lesotho specifically, where, you know, you make commitments within a project and then a country doesn't deliver, and we have to, because it's a trilateral, we want to rescue it, and the DG knows he was really involved. We had to get involved at a very high level, and at the end we had to basically make a decision to cancel the program because it was reputationally damaging for us. And there, I mean, it could be seen as a big brother, but it is to just, you know, engender the support of our other international partners and to continue a good relationship with them. So we will endeavor to get you more information, more detailed information on the specifics, but thank you for. And just to say that the meeting that you went to was jointly organized between ourselves and UNESCO. And the other thing I think I wanted to mention as well is that it's really important that we take this this relationship really importantly. We have, from within our unit, seconded someone to sit at the office at the SADC Secretariat because they don't have a capacity for science and technology. And so Annalene, who you met, he's sitting in SADC. So I think that's a very important commitment to our partnership within the SADC region. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I apologize. I think we didn't answer your question on the bursaries. So it's a rather tricky one, to be honest. But Peggy has touched on something called ministerial guidelines for providing bursaries to honor students. And it provides guidelines in terms of the percentages of women and black. But I think your question is much more than that, which says, what is the criteria that you use to make sure that the students that are in the pool, you target the right students that may not necessarily be, if you like, or difficult to get? I don't think we have an answer for you, to be brutally honest. What we could do, perhaps, Peggy, is to engage with the NRF, because they then do that in much more detail. So would be honest to say, I don't think, and maybe this is something we need to think about, to say, how do you make sure that the pool is as wide as possible, and it's also looking at people who might be disadvantaged or people who come from families that, because they are breadwinners, they are not able to do this. I don't think we have an answer there, unless I think we'll rather just go and think about it and probably come with a proper answer, I would suggest. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DG. I think also we will also pose that question to NRF whenever they hear. But one other thing, but thanks for the responses. The one thing that probably some of the questions that we're posing, I think we're trying by all means to be cautious. On the issues that are raised, for instance, on corrective measures that are taken or whatever for non-performance or underperformance. You know, I think the issue of ilifacitimeni has affected us, has opened our eyes on how to exercise also the oversight, including the department itself on oversighting their entities. Because, for instance, if you heard the MEC says, I informed the Premier. So what is it that you informed the Premier of that is moving people to from life as it demands? But no details as to how. So I think for me also is just to check if you do have those checks and balances on oversighting your entities, so that with this experience that we have just had or we're busy with of life as it demands, that those whatever gaps that would be there that are closed, so that we do not have, you know, just making, I'm using life as it demands as just an example, but to ensure that the allocation of funds to entities are, you know, fully utilized for what they are intended for. Lastly, last week we were called to a joint, it was just badly coordinated, but we were called for a joint portfolio committee on looking at drought. And my assessing the whole thing is that while it was just mentioned, science and technology, after the questioning, I don't think that it is fully engaged, the department. And I think it is one department that would have those solutions for the drought research solutions. And just I was just reminding them that, also telling them that in one of the exhibitions that we had in Kalaga Estate, there's a guy that we met who was funded by TIA, and he came up with this product of water harvesting or things, yes, you know, from the rain, and but then it swifts off the leaves and what have you, but it goes into the sanitation process, which for me was such, for us, it was such a good a project that will even can be installed, you know, when the planning for the RTP houses, whatever, for new townships or new locations, for that water harvesting, and instead of using clean water, you use that water that would be in that tank. So, but I'm just raising this to say in our engagement, I found that most departments work in silos. You know, everybody wants to claim victory on I did it and I did this, when we're supposed to have this concerted and integrated approach on getting solutions for the country. So I just thought I'll just raise it, yeah. But thank you very much. From members, is there still comments or questions or stuff like that? Thank you very much, DG, and your team. Thanks for the responses on everything. I think we were also told that you are pressed with your flight. But DG, I think it is fine. The because the next item on our agenda is our program on the NRF bill. Unless we want to say something on the NRF bill, or Martin, do you want to say something? Okay. So we want to thank you for availing yourself, and apologies for changing of time. So it's until the stability we. Could be called at any time, so we must be combat ready at all times. Thank you very much, and travel safely.